Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so excited to present everything that happened in the week that we were in Honduras. And so we look forward to sharing those things. What was represented in this presentation today is just a fraction of everything that happened. So if you want to hear more, come to any of us and we'd love to share it. A little geography here. First of all, we have where we are, Chelsea, Alabama, and where we actually went to in Campamento, Honduras. The map at the top right, you see the orange circle there. That's where we spent a week in Campamento. We flew into the capital of Tegucigalpa and had a two-hour bus trip up to Campamento where we stayed. The last picture in the lower right depicts a little elevated view of a portion of the city of Campamento and what it looks like. Why are we going? Well, we're just reading a passage in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It said, go. So we went. Also, to encourage and build up the brethren in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Just as Brandon, Chris, and Patrick went a couple of years ago to our brothers in Texas after the floods and helped them and encouraged them. That's really what we want to do as a body of Christ, is we want to do more than just pray for them and send money. When we can, we want to be directly involved in the work. And so that's a big reason of why we went to Campamento. The opportunity, the Lord opened doors and blessed us, and we walked through it with His blessing for sure. But really, we talk about that. We want to be involved in just not only supporting and encouraging our brethren and spreading the gospel in our community is where it starts, in other states and in other countries. All of those are included. And God, again, blessed us abundantly. How are we supporting Honduras? There are several different ways. We purchase Bibles, songbooks, concordances, study material, a laptop, adult chairs, children's Bible class tables and chairs. We had Sister Carmen, who was a needy sister, had a house built for her. And we are supporting children of the church who are in need. So those are the ways that we have been financially supporting the work in Honduras. Our plans after 2018, we wanted to do the fundamental things that everyone wants to do on a mission trip. We wanted to teach, evangelize, and encourage the brethren that are there. So we set out as that is our highest level goal. And the first thing we accomplished was teaching, and we did an in-depth VBS. And in that VBS, we were able to share the scripture, and Scott Junkin will get into more details in the VBS, and we were also able to teach the adult Bible class on Wednesday night. Evangelize, we actually, we had a Bible study with parents at schools where that VBS was going on in parallel with the VBS. So we engaged both of the preachers, Maximo and Eduardo, and they presented an excellent lesson, and we created some material, handout material, in order for them to utilize that. And we encouraged the brethren. We participated by attending every single event that they have, and they have a lot of them. They get together very frequently, and we enjoyed and we were blessed to be a part of that. You always think of how we're encouraged by that, but we actually got feedback that we were very encouraging by joining them and participating with them in that. Last year, they mentioned a couple of cultural problems. One was men's leadership, and another was marriage. That's not something foreign to us in the United States, for sure. So one way, in order to help with the men's leadership, we reached out to a person that is a Latino brother that understands that and specializes in leadership. He was able to go to Honduras in November and in May and have Bible classes and a workshop on leadership and helping the men. The other thing on marriage is we created some material that had Bible verses for the roles of husbands and wives, and we shared that with them, as well as like a hand towel with a Bible verse. And Maximo and Eduardo now have a marriage or a couples event that they've got planned that they're going to utilize that material and hopefully strengthen that area. Blessings of God, it started first and foremost with prayer. And God, as always, He delivers much more than we, any of us, ever imagine. The church leadership, since last year to this year, has doubled. So it was basically three people, the two evangelists and an older man. And now it's the two evangelists, two older men, and two younger men who have stepped up and are teaching Bible classes, leading songs, and leading prayer in both the public environment at the buildings, but also in the homes as well when they meet. So that was so encouraging to see. We were able to see fruit from the adult Bible study. So as we did that with the parents, a good portion of that audience was unchurched. And so that created opportunities for the preachers there. And they already have Bible studies set up with some of those parents from those Bible classes. And finally, the in-depth VBS, the kid, it was a huge hit with the kids as they learn more about the Bible, and it was a blessing, certainly, to be a part of that. I'm going to turn it over to John, and John is going to discuss some of the daily activities that we went through this week.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to show a little bit about some of the stuff that we did. Obviously, went the wrong direction. So we had a work day. And for a work day, we put down a concrete floor for a family that's in the neighborhood where Carmen lives, Sister Carmen lives. And the reason we put the concrete floor down is you may not actually think about this, but if you've got a dirt floor, the dirt floor is very susceptible to rodents, to reptiles, to other vermin, insects, bugs, disease, bacteria, and all kinds of bad things. So that just putting a concrete floor in a house significantly improves the health of the whole family, but particularly the children. I mean, significantly improves the health of the children. So it's a really big deal. So we were able to put in a concrete floor for this family in Carmen's neighborhood. But more than that, it was actually a neighborhood event. Over 50 people came out for this event. The entire neighborhood and all the kids came out there. I thought the child labor people come at me because I had a bunch of first graders helping me fill the sand buckets up. Okay? It was a big event, and what was best about this is that Maximo was out there working as hard as any of us, but we're making the connections with the neighborhood. So we're meeting all these people. They're seeing us working. They're all coming out. It's a huge neighborhood event all day long. We're out there working. And I guarantee you, Maximo and Eduardo have gone back and they followed up with every one of those families in that neighborhood because we were out there making that connection, building that concrete floor. The next 3 days, we went to three schools in the area, and at each of the schools, we conducted a vacation Bible school for the little kids, a vacation Bible school for the bigger kids, and Maximo and Eduardo conducted Bible classes for all of the adults. So we had all of the adults were invited, the parents and the families of all the kids were all invited. A lot of them showed up. And Eduardo and Maximo conducted Bible classes. So again, here we are connecting with the community, connecting with the people, teaching the Bible. Then after all the Bible classes, we served a big meal. Then we had a big playtime. And we ended up the day by giving all the kids and the families some gifts as they left. So connecting with the community, teaching the Bible to little kids, the big kids, and the adults. And again, I am certain Maximo and Eduardo are following up with every one of those people that were in those Bible classes. 3 days at three different schools in the area. One other activity that we did was we delivered mattresses to some very poor people in the area. If you look at the right-hand picture, this is an old, well-used, torn-up piece of foam that some kids and family were sleeping on because that's the best they had before we delivered mattresses. We delivered well over 20 or so mattresses, a couple of dozen mattresses. And the middle picture is the group actually trucking through the jungle and up the side of the mountain because we were delivering mattresses to people that were inaccessible by cars. You couldn't get there in a truck or a car to deliver mattresses, so they had to walk. I think the total trek through the mountains was close to 3 miles to deliver all these mattresses one day. So after our other work during the day, we would spend each day delivering mattresses to the poor people. On Wednesday night, we went to the services, had a Bible study. We had songs in Spanish. Scott led some songs in English. We had Dave bring a lesson in English, and then Maximo brought a lesson in Spanish. We had about 50 people or so that was there, including all the kids. It was a great service to see everybody there singing the songs. Dave did a great job with his Bible class. And then, of course, Maximo always does a great job there. And that was our Wednesday night Bible study. And then on Tuesday and Thursday, we were able to attend home services where they have a service at people's houses. They have singing, praying, reading scriptures, and preaching. And we went to one on Tuesday and one on Thursday. And essentially all you're doing, you get there on the porch, 20, 30, 40 people. You're there on the porch. You're all huddled up, as you can see on these pictures. And then we sing songs. We sung some in English, a lot in Spanish. And then we read the scriptures. We pray. We have two or three people pray. And one of the things I thought was really great about this is where we saw some of the other men from the church step up. So in addition to Eduardo and Maximo, we saw Israel preaching. We saw Joaquin. We saw Javier and other men there that were stepping up and were participating in these home services. It was just really great to be part of these services. So we did that on 2 days, on Tuesday and Thursday. We had those. And then we also spent time when we had the opportunity to visit some other people. We were able to visit a 91-year-old lady who's in this wheelchair here. On one day, we were able to go to the senior center. And I don't know if you can tell by looking at the table, but they've actually have bingo cards out. And we played bingo with the seniors at the senior center, which was just so much fun. We got together and we sang songs, and they'd sing a song in Spanish and we'd sing a song in English, and we'd go back and forth like that. It was great. We got a chance to visit with Sister Carmen and her family, and we got a chance to visit with Sister Flores and her family way up in the mountains. And it was a really, really good opportunity. So this is kind of everything that we did during the day. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Junkin here and let him talk about the Vacation Bible School.
So this was my first year going. These guys went last year, and I was very excited when we talked about we were going to be able to do Vacation Bible School with the kids. As you guys know, I love working with the kids here, and this was just a fun opportunity for our group to go there and work with the children there in Campamento and in the area there. As was mentioned, we went to three different schools, and our agenda was to sing some songs with them, and then to have a craft, have an activity, all centered around God and Jesus, and then have some fun, play some games, enjoy some time with the kids. And I think we had a really good time. As you can see on the pictures, this kind of just happened as we got there and we started our Vacation Bible School. They surround us in a circle, and we got in the middle and we led some songs with them. Our kids here are learning Christo Me Ama, which is Jesus Loves Me. We're learning that in our Bible classes. So Christo Me Ama, that was the first song we sung with them, and that's Jesus Loves Me. And so we sang that with the kids. We also sang Christo Ama a los Niños, so Jesus Loves the Little Children. And we found a good one that had a lot of hand motions that the kids liked. It's El Mandamiento Más Grande. It's the greatest commandment. It's from Matthew 22, and it talks about the kids loved it. About loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your body, with all your strength. So they were doing all the hand motions with us, and we were singing that with them, and it was just wonderful to sing with them. We also closed every song with Chuchuwa, and I'm just going to leave it at that. A Chuchuwa, if you want to know more about that song, there's probably a video out there on Facebook or YouTube. So we did some silly dancing with them, but the kids had a good time, so we had fun with that. Oops, other way. The crafts that we worked with, again, we separated the kids into smaller kids and older kids. They had some coloring sheets that were focused on the children coming to Jesus and God holding the whole world, basically God being in control. And as you can see on some of the pictures for the older kids, they colored that sheet and then they made a globe out of the things that they were coloring on. So they were able to put that together. One thing I did want to show you guys, and I'll brag on these kids, is these are the three different schools we went to. And in one school, they were in their classroom. In another school, they're out on the patio. Another school, we sat out on a hill in the grass. We were just sitting there. But these kids there was no complaints from these kids. No matter where they were, they had crayons, they were sharing, there was no issue. They were sharing with one another, was very happy and helping one another, and coloring wherever they were. I meant coloring in their laps if they needed to. And they were just enjoying the time, and it was fun working with them with the crafts that we were working with them. This was another thing. It wasn't part of our original plan of the Vacation Bible School, but I had brought some extra Bibles. I know our kids, do you guys like Bible drill? Yeah, they like Bible drill. So our kids like Bible drill. I said, let's try it with these guys from Honduras. And we did. We took a couple of Bibles out and made a game just like some Bible drill. Is can you open to the middle of the Bible to find Salmo? Salmo. And they would find Psalms in the middle of the Bible. And then we could find Matthew and find 1 Samuel in the beginning of the Bible, end of the Bible. And these guys, as we were working with them, they could turn to those three sections in the Bible pretty quickly. So we were working with them on Bible drill. At the next school we went to, when we were talking with these kids, I was about to go start with the Bible drill. I got my Bibles, and I walked outside, and I saw this picture of John Clemens as I was walking out to get Bible drill started. And I heard them reading John 3:16 in Spanish. And John had also incorporated a new part of our Vacation Bible School, and it worked so well as the kids came out there and they were reading John 3:16, reading that and trying to learn a little bit of it. I think some of them started memorizing just a little bit of the Scripture. And as I came out and ready for Bible drill, John looked over at me and said, "Scott, they're ready for you. Ready for you in Bible drill." So we were just passing them on, and it worked really well. And we were at a bigger school this last time, so we had some extra Bibles. So Sonia jumped in and helped lead some Bible drills. So we had three different sections after the kids were finished with their crafts to get in the Bible, to open the Bible, to read the Bible. So it was a great opportunity that we added. And as we continue to do these Vacation Bible Schools, that will definitely be a part of it. And I'll just mention in closing, we had a lot of fun with these kids, a lot of smiles, a lot of laughter playing with these kids. You can see some of them on the picture, but we did face painting, we did balloon hats, we had soccer balls always going, ring toss, frisbee, checkers, and those fun noodles, yes, I had four of these things in my luggage, wrapped around in my luggage that went down to Campamento, and noodles are fun, that's why they call them fun noodles, so... The kids had fun with the fun noodles, and we had some punch balloons. I got some fun stories with the little ones that had the punch balloons and how much fun they had. If you want to hear more about all these kids and how much fun we had, all of us have fun stories with these kids, so just come let us know. But all of this was watching the Lord work, and there were several things watching the Lord work, and it was fun to watch it with the kids. But I'm going to turn it over to Scott to talk about some other ways we were watching the Lord work in Campamento.
So, in this section, talking about just kind of building upon what's been said, I'm going to repeat a few of the things that we've talked about. But maybe a different spin and angle on watching the Lord work as we went along. So we had, as you can see on the slide here, we had adult classes, as we've talked about previously. This was very important to us. As David mentioned earlier, you know, we haven't gone there last year and kind of doing some groundwork and some you know, really learning what things were about down there and determining if this is a place we really need to be. Obviously, we made that determination. And as he as he pointed out and the others have pointed out, we went in with a plan. And, you know, Honduras is a hard place to go in with a plan. I'll just be quite honest with you. It is, you know, Honduran time, and you just have to go with the flow. But we created a plan. John Clemens wouldn't have it any other way. He thinks in PowerPoint, as he stated to us one day. So we had the plan, and we went in, and we executed the plan. And I'll be quite honest with you. I was not sure that we would be able to execute this plan to a tenth of the degree that we did. But the Lord does such great things. Watching the Lord work. In that plan of activities included the kids, as Scott was talking about, it included these adults, as has been mentioned. And what's a big deal about that is that I want you to understand, you know, these folks are working like everybody else during the day, the men especially, okay? And so what we were able to do in the plans that we made in creating these adult class scenarios was draw in the parents, but it was more than parents. It was people in the community. It was grandparents. It was whomever could make it at that time to come and to listen to Maximo and Eduardo. And, you know, there was really no way that we had an idea, an expectation of how that was really going to turn out. But also, as Dave has mentioned, you know, the men are a real issue. You know, the leadership items are a real problem for them in that area of the world. So we were very thrilled when we had these adult classes. And we did one in one of the schools, Chichiquata. I always forget how to say the names. But we had 31 adults at the Bible class there. And three of those were men. Now, the area was working, people were working their jobs, that kind of thing. But these three men that were there was significant because it really rarely happens that way. Then we had adult classes in Coyle, a school called Coyle. And we had 35 adults there, and 14 were men. Maximo and Eduardo were just taken back. 14 were men. And then in Barro, we had 60 adults. 60 adults. Huge. Three were men. You might ask, well, what's the difference? Again, working areas, things of that nature, the type of work they do reflects upon some of them's availability, obviously. But a lot of it has to do with where they're at. You know, as we talked at each school afterwards and downloaded information among each other, and we talked with Maximo and Eduardo, he kind of gave us some rundown. You know, some of these areas were predominantly Christian areas. Some of these areas, and when I say Christian, that's in quote, okay? But some of them really didn't do anything. And some of them were Muslim or other. And so, you know, the fact of the matter is that we were able to affect, in adult Bible classes, obviously the women were huge. But to affect having men there was a significant thing. And as has been mentioned, you know, because of those adult classes, Maximo and Eduardo, you know, have been able to set up classes with people that they would never have encountered most of the time. We brought them out of the mountains. We went to them in the mountains. Okay? And, you know, it was funny to me, the further in the mountains you go, the more simple their lives, right? What we would see is a real poverty level, the closer to God they seem to be. Just a point. So I can't express how important these classes were. You know, all of us have had VBS classes with our children, and we've enjoyed that. And these children were exactly the same. But I was really, really thrilled as John and Scott talked about the activities with the kids. And this whole plan executed just better than we could ever imagine. And isn't that the way it is when you give it to God? He will do it greater than you ever planned. There were additional items added to the list as they talked about that worked and were huge in the lives of those children and in the lives of those adults. And I cannot express how tirelessly everyone worked that went. The 12 of us that went, everyone worked hard. And our ladies, I mean, there were six of them ladies there, guys. And I'm going to tell you, the six ladies outworked us easily, 2-1. Easily 2-1. So, I guess going to the next slide. Is that it? Other way. That way? Other way. Okay, got it now. So these children, we want to talk about these children in general. These are kids that are being supported. And these children that you see here are being supported by us as a congregation. They're children that are part of the church there. Their mothers are raising them by themselves, and they have real need. And they're faithful sisters to Christ. But something that I want, and many of you have seen them if we've gone along over the last year, but one of the things I want to point out in this photograph as we go along is if you look at the child on the right, okay, I want you to look at the hair color, and I want you to look at the hair color. As you go along, you see the hair color difference because their nutritional value has picked up greatly from that blondish hair that is not normal for them, blondish, almost orange, to the darker hair. And so that's something that we've also been able to affect in them there. So very important that I wanted to note that. But they're all growing well, and as we've been getting information, they're doing really good in school and in the at the daycare facility. A number of them are there, and others in other school. They're doing well. All of that has picked up great for them. And so may God continue to bless them. Watching the Lord work here in relation to some other things here. before we go to that, the children are being supported. There are five of those. I just want to make sure I make that clear. There are five of those children that are being supported by the congregation with the sisters that need to be. There are an additional seven being supported by individuals in the congregation. And so I want to impress upon you to be thinking about that as individuals, that you could support other children that are there, what they do for the kids there, and the nutritional values that are given. Then their ability to learn is so much greater and so much faster. So I just want you to really think about that, because there's at least 100 more that need support at this time. So that's you as an individual to consider that, and you can see me or any of the others about that, and we'll help you with that. As far as continuing to watch the Lord work, the effect here, so I want to talk about this a little bit. We have some effect with the daycare staff and the children as well, okay? You know, friendships have formed among us and the people at the daycare staff there, especially the ladies, working with one another on a daily basis. You know, our ladies would jump in there and help them, you know, whatever they were doing, and not just sit back. And they saw that. Other groups, honestly, are not always that way that come there, but we were. And we were able to affect some help there with that. And now, because of that, friendships have been developed. They text each other. Those that have Facebook each other. And they keep up with each other. And they encourage one another. And we prayed with them daily, multiple times a day. And so all those types of interactions, as you know, are very important, you know, in our connection to them and bringing a number of them to the Lord that aren't with the Lord just yet. So I want to make sure I've got this on the right page. Hold on. This is the one. Okay, so what we have here is we also have a brother, Jeffrey, in this photo over here to the far left top. Okay, now Jeffrey is someone that we talked about last time. Jeffrey was born, had to have his legs amputated as a young child, came to the U.S. in order to have that done and was supported. He is now, you know, a grown man. He's in trying to go to college. He's been in college for about a year and trying to get through that at this point. But the one thing to think about when you think about Jeffrey is he's overcome a lot of obstacles in his life. And he is a Christian. And we've tried to keep up with Jeffrey, and Dave has done that quite often. And Maximo gives us reports on Jeffrey. When things are going good, great. When things are going bad, we hear about that. And so we've been trying to encourage him, and he is trying to be a better person in his life as he moves forward. And what is interesting as we look at this is that you can see his parents there. Well, his mother is a Christian. Luce, she's a Christian who has some issues as well right now that her and another sister that have no other means to have it done are going to have some serious surgeries eventually on their back. And we along with other Christians, as well as the local Christians, will be helping in regards to that. But what's really neat is that his father's in this photo. His father was a drunk for a number of years, and he finally cleaned himself up, and he's in the AA program there. He struggles. He became a Christian, and he fell away. And for some time now, he's been away from the church. So, knowing that we were going to be having a Wednesday night Bible class, and that the congregation had asked us to teach, and Dave led that class, you know, Dave was able to... Dave and I sat down, and we're talking to Jeffrey about it, and we wanted him to reach out to his dad and just let his dad know we'd like to meet him and just see if he would come or not. And he had not come for a while. And I'll tell you, on that Wednesday night Bible class, he came. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. We also had a sister at one of the houses that we met at. There was a lady there who had fallen away from the church. Lydia was her name. And Lydia had just really fallen into a state that a lot of people get in. And that's allowed her faith to be impacted to the point where she was very weak and didn't know what she thought. And she opened it up. Maximo and them were working with her and Eduardo. And she opened her house up. And that was where we had one of the house churches. And while we were there that night, one of the most impactful things I've seen. At the end of the service, she came forward, as we would call it. She stepped forward, and they prayed for her. And we all prayed for her. And it was such a powerful prayer. Even though there were parts, obviously, that I couldn't understand, one of the translators helped me with that. But, you know, it was just so touching and so emotional when you see someone who's hurting and looking for the Lord. And Lydia rededicated her life that night. And she told us afterwards, she said, one of the biggest reasons that I was impacted to do this was because I had 12 brothers and sisters in Christ who came from a place in the U.S. that I have no idea even where it's at. But that they cared enough to come. That there were people outside of the area that I live in that are really dedicated to the Lord. And it's not just us here. Now I know. I'm going to tell you, that was a huge impact. Huge impact. Marcos. You can see Marcos top laying in his bed reading. Same night, we have the class. Lydia has rededicated her life. And we leave and we're walking up a narrow path, literally on a sheer slope. And we're walking up between these houses on a narrow path. And Maximo comes to us and he says, "Brothers, I want you to come to this house right up here at the top of where we have been." And he says, "Brother Marcos is up here in this house." Well, Brother Marcos was shot in the back 8 years ago. And he was paralyzed. For 7 years, all he wanted to do was just die, was just give up. And he thought many times about killing himself. But Eduardo studied with Marcos, and he was baptized a year ago. They told us how it happened, and the number of them that took him and got him in the water and baptized him. And now, all he wants to do is live. Before, Maximo said, all he did was frown. Now, all he does is smile. We went into a jammed little room, took about four or five of us, and we prayed with him. And when we walked in that room, he was laying on the bed, as you see there, looking out the window, and he could see where our class was, and he could hear part of at least what was going on. And he was all smiles, and it was hot, and it was sticky. And it wasn't a fancy place by any means. But this man was smiling because he's got the Lord in his life. Amen. So we had the Wednesday night. Well, you'll see a couple of other pictures here. Bottom picture, we're at the Senior Center at the Abuelos, as they call it. And we're playing games, we said, with them and singing. And just had a great time there. Those seniors really active in things and singing for the Lord and back and forth. A lot of great times with them. I sometimes it's hard to know who you have the most fun with, the little kids or the older folks. And it was really great. And a lot of them remember who we are from last time. It's amazing. So it was a really great opportunity. And just another picture there of some mattress delivery. And one point that I wanted to make about the mattress delivery, and we'll move on from that, is the fact that these people we were delivering these mattresses to, every one of them, except the 90-year-old woman who couldn't get out of the wheelchair and she was blind, every one of them were at one of our Bible studies, specifically at the schools, hearing about the Lord. So continuing to watch the Lord work here, you can see that we have a lot of activities that are going on with the children at the daycare here. The little child in the middle with the hat on is not really a little child. That's my wife. But she kind of blends right in with the little children, right? Obviously, my daughter is there. And you see Scott working with the kids over here and Denise at the end and several of the others. You know, every day at the daycare, when we got up and got ready to go downstairs to eat or whatever, these little kids are coming in, and we're able to start teaching Bible class right away with them just by doing Bible drills or crafts or whatever it is. So it's really great in relation to that. So the Wednesday night Bible study, you can see on the left over here, you can see the Wednesday night Bible study. There was 50-plus in attendance. There were songs in Spanish and then in English. And then Dave delivered an excellent class. Had two translators at different times working. Galatians 3:26-28. We talked here about different languages, countries, culture, and skin color, but we're one in Christ. And so Dave really did a great job in that, in talking about unity in Christ, our bond there in love and in good works, equality in race and gender, in Christ as members, our purpose to sow into people, sow in good works, and sow the gospel, and our destination The world is not our home, but heaven is our home. And then Maximo followed that up with an additional talk to the people. And then John led a prayer for Jeffrey's parents after services. So that was kind of the evening that evening. And as we pointed out, there were 50 there for the Wednesday night, over 50, there for the Wednesday night Bible study. And I encourage you to think about that, because we've talked about how many times they meet. They meet six at minimum a week. Six times at minimum a week they're meeting with one another. Think about that. How hard is it for you to get here on Wednesday evening? Six times at minimum a week. The other things that we want to talk about, the Flores family is the other photo. That's all of us there. The Flores is the other a couple of the other kids that we support, three of them up in the mountains. Sister Flores is the lady we talked to you about last year. She walks about 2 to 2.5 hours to church every Sunday along with her mom. You know, it's a long way into the mountain. And they live on the sheer slope of the mountain where they grow coffee and bananas. And their lives have improved dramatically, and their faithfulness has not changed at all in relation to the Lord. She's very faithful. So we were able to visit with them and see things that we were able to help them with. Again, we had on Friday, I believe it was Friday night, we had singing at the church. And we came in, and I'm going to tell you, we went up there, and it was fantastic, you know, and went around the room. And one of the big things was Eduardo, he leads singing most of the time, and we could hum a tune to him in English, and he could name the number in the Spanish manual just like that. I mean, he could name the number right out of his head. He knew every song. As long as he heard the tune, he could tell you where to go. And it was amazing. The singing was great, and we were able to lead some in English as well. Israel preached. Israel is one of the older members of the congregation as well. We've stepped up. We've doubled the leadership there from the two men to there was four men or so. Now there's six to eight men that are actually working in the church there very strongly. And so that's a tremendous increase from when we were there last. And so that's really kind of where we're at this point. That's how we saw the Lord working and doing better than we could ever do. And then I'll turn it over to John for the prayer list.
So this work begins and ends with prayer. And I will tell you that without the prayers of the congregation, that we would just be wasting our time. Okay, we have to have the prayers of the congregation. And I am not suggesting vague prayers about, well, we just help the people in Honduras. I want to have you look at these names. I want you to put these names on your prayer list, and I'm asking for you to pray for these people every week by name. We've got Maximo and Daisy, that's the preacher and his wife that we've been talking about, Eduardo and Cindy, the other preacher and his wife, Donnie and Donna. They're the directors of the local work there. Bobby and his family, he's the VP over kind of the all of that is there. Sister Carmen, we've talked about her and the house we were able to build, the new job that she was able to get. Please continue to pray for her. We talked about Sister Flores up in the mountains and her family and what God has been able to do for her. Please continue to pray for her as well. The entire church, we've talked about the work that is doing, meeting at least six days a week. The new men that are stepping up to be leaders, continue to pray for them. If you're looking for names, Israel, Joaquin, Javier, a couple of other I can't remember, but those names, those are the men that are stepping up to be leaders in the congregation. We've talked about Jeffrey. We've talked about the struggles that his parents are having. Continue to remember them. And Marcos, the man that was paralyzed, continue to remember them. Pray that they will continue to not grow weary in doing good, that they will preach the word in season, out of season, that they will not grow weary, that they will plant the seed, that they will be servants of God, and that above all, everything would be done to the glory of God. Please remember these people in your prayers. So I think just one more thing that I wanted to talk about is, let me tell you one other thing about prayer. If you ask God to open doors and give you opportunities, you better be prepared for what God's going to do for you. Because we've prayed that He would open doors, and He has opened many doors. This time we had a chance to sit down with Bobby and talk through some other things, and he's presented us with several things that I wanted to mention to you briefly here. One is, as you know, we go down for 1 week, but there's lots of groups that go down there. Bobby's seen the effectiveness of the Vacation Bible School and the Bible classes and suggested that it might make sense for all of the groups to cooperate together and have a summer-long Bible study through maybe the book of Acts, or maybe study through the scheme of redemption. It's one thing to have just this one or two classes like we were had, but think about the impact we could have with having, say, a class that goes through the whole summer that Eduardo and Maximo have, studying the plan of salvation from the beginning to end throughout the summer. So that's something that he's asked us to take a look at and to start talking to the other groups that come down there and see if we can put some kind of plan like that in place. One other thing that he's asked us, you look at a picture here of Guatemala and this town that I definitely cannot pronounce over here. That town has a church that has a small group that's actually very, very strong and a preacher that's very strong. But Guatemala is a very, very difficult environment. The ground is very hard, and it is hard to sow the seed. But he's asked us to take a look, because the preacher is strong, that church is strong, that if he says if we could have a group like us that could get behind that preacher, who could encourage him, who could help him, who could go there and do some activities with them, the way he said was like put jet fuel behind this guy, that the Lord could do great things there if we could get in there and help him. So he's asked us to take a look at Guatemala as an opportunity where we could get in there and help. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is the idea of marriage. And I want you to think about something here. There are a lot of people in the community, and even a lot of people in the church, that aren't legally married. The reason is simple. Marriage licenses are very expensive. For some of the people, to the tune of several months' salary just to get a marriage license. So if you're looking at putting food on the table versus getting a marriage license, you're going to decide you're going to eat, right? So what they've been able to do in the past is convince the mayor for one day to waive the fee for the marriage license so that everybody can get legally married. And so what they've asked us to do is they're going to get with the mayor, sort out all the legal details, but they want us to be part of a big mass wedding ceremony. And by mass, we're talking at least a dozen couples or more is what they say would probably be there. Maximo and Eduardo would teach some classes on marriage leading up to the ceremony. We'd have a big ceremony. We would have a big reception afterwards. And we've already had ladies in the class have volunteered to put together a book that would have their license and certificate in it, would have a copy of their vows, would have a copy of the scriptures that are on marriage, would have pictures from the wedding, pictures from the reception, all of that together so that every couple would get one of those books. And Bobby said that if we can actually do this, that he wants to do this every year when we come down there to have this big wedding ceremony for everybody. So God has opened these doors for us to continue the Bible studies in Camp Pimento, for us to expand that into a month-long Bible study, maybe on the scheme of redemption. Maybe a door is opening for us to do work in Guatemala, and the door is opening for us to have a big wedding ceremony for everybody. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's all I've got. I'm going to turn it back over to Scott, I think, to wrap everything up. I press this button. There's got to be one more slide. It's not going to work. There we go. All right, Scott.
So in closing, guys, the date is set for next year for going to Camp Pimento, May 30th through June 6th. We got to book our tickets in November. So we need commitment by the end of October. And what we're asking you to do is to think about it. We realize not everybody can. There are seasons in people's lives that make it more difficult than others. But you really, really need to think about this. It's time to get your passport, so go ahead and get it. You don't have to have it when we're booking the flights. You just got to have it before you leave. I want to point out this photograph up here of the things on the wall. We take such things for granted in our life. Photographs. They don't take photographs for granted. You know, the photos that they get up while we're there, and Dawn did a great thing by bringing one of the old style Polaroids that are coming back, and they take those photos, and those are some of the only photos they have in their life. But I want you to see what's on that wall, and I know you can't tell, but in the frame on the right, and in the frame on the left, over the pictures of themselves and their children, are the handouts that we gave them in the adult classes. They think so highly of the material that we gave them. And I'm telling you, we had a table, and Maximilian had tracks on that table. We had developed some track type information as well for the classes and gave that to them during the class. We didn't force them to do anything. They went out there and they got that material. They read that material. As we said, they set up classes. But they hung that in their house. That says a lot. I got that picture the other day sent to me by Bobby when another group was going in. So in summary, for the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah 4:6. I want you to think about that. Zeal. You know, zeal for the Lord was created when we went there last year. Zeal for the Lord was strengthened and passed to others, and it just grew. And that zeal is not the work just there. That's obvious. Our major work is right here. And you can do it right here. And we ask that you do it. That you get out and that you talk to your neighbors, to your family members. But by going there and doing this, it will really set you on fire. If you have the ability, we want you to go. And by us going and coming back and sharing that, I think that we can show you the zeal that the Lord has given to us in our hearts. And we want everyone to come to the Lord. So as we get ready to sing, I ask that you think about that today. If you just haven't been the Christian you need to be, and all of us fall into that, and you need prayer, we ask you to come forward and let's pray. For those of you that have not given your life to Christ, you need to think about it. You need to think about it hard, because your eternity depends on it. We ask that you come forward as we stand and we sing.